Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's great to have all of you here on yet again what has turned out to be the American Tech Network. It turns out that all of our friends on the east side of the Atlantic are dealing with schedule conflicts today. But here we are, west side of the Atlantic, representing. It's great to have all of you here. Chuck, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. It's interesting that you would say that we're representing, because in a way we do, because we came from the UK in a sense. So there's this very strong bond that we have with the UK.
That's true. The UK and the EU as well.
Yeah. In spite of the Boston Tea Party, we still have that strong bond. So, Jeff says, sipping his tea.
Sipping my tea. Earl Grey. Hey,
Jeff, give me that so I can throw it in the harbor.
Yeah. No, this is the good tea. I'll tell you what, I no have some kind. Lower quality stuff. I'll give it to you. It can go into the harbor. I will tell you, though, that my tea... Apparently, our UK friends kind of freak out a little bit, because if I describe what I'm drinking very, very plainly, it's they're like, yes, okay, it's tea, it has been sweetened, and it has some milk in it. When I tell you exactly what it is, then they freak out. It's tea sweetened with honey and oat milk added. And I'm like, what in the world are you putting in your mouth? The idea of sweetening tea with honey apparently is not a big thing in the UK. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, though, at my place, it's all the rage.
Yes. You're supposed to use crumpets, whatever those are.
It's a brass musical instrument. You blow into it and it makes sounds.
Is there any particular kind of honey that you prefer, Jeff?
I go for local honeys because that helps with allergies.
Well, that would make sense.
You're getting your local pollens.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good thinking. You're just always thinking, Jeff.
Yes.
That's the problem, isn't it? Really. Speaking of always thinking and trouble, Ben, how are you?
I'm good. I am happy to report that we are safe from the New York City earthquake by none of us being in New York City. Or, well, Chuck's remotely close to it, but...
Yeah, haven't noticed anything at all, which is a good thing, which is a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All of us can mark ourselves safe from excuse me, this morning's earthquake.
Yep. Yep. Just as long as Yellowstone or New Madrid don't go off, we're good.
You know, if Yellowstone goes off,
nobody's good.
Yeah. Well, for me, that's the last of my worries, quite literally, because I think I'm in the caldera's death zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that positive note, jeez.
But hey, you know, while the three of you slowly starve to death, you can mourn my loss.
Thank you.
Yes.
Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Yes. By the way, Caldera Death Zone will be the show title. Tom, write that down.
Writing it down right now. Well, seriously, I just got out the pen. Caldera Death Zone. Got it. Okay. And Dave, how are you? How is it that you have the tolerance to actually still be here?
I'm doing great because I love you guys. That's why I'm here.
You're not getting our Bud Lights.
Yeah. I We just came off of the 300th episode of In Touch by OS, and that'll be posting later today as we record this. And had a great time. All of you were there, and great to celebrate that milestone. But beyond that, gloomy day, but that's okay. It's great to be here talking to you guys.
It's great to have you here. Congratulations on episode 300. And it was an honor to get to be able to be part of that episode. So thank you for including me.
You are welcome. Thank you.
You included all of us, actually.
I did.
Oh, holy crap. Yeah. We were all podcasting together just a few hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too long ago.
Yep. Yeah. It was an honor to be eating cake for the 300th episode while nobody else got the memo.
You actually were quite literally, yes, eating cake during the episode. And
got the empty box to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, this trash can is completely empty.
Can't see it.
It is now that you took the cake box out.
It was so empty that it just disappeared.
Yeah, it had its own cloaking device. It's Romulan cake.
Yeah, I was going to just totally go on a tear with completely inappropriate jokes. And
hey, we're explicit.
Look at the level of self-control that I am exhibiting. You should all be very proud of me right now. Anyhow, Apple News, we're here. Might as well do something. Not?
I mean, this is the Mac show or something. Right, this is the right day.
Let's see. According to my calendar, Friday, April 5th. Yes, so it's Mac show.
Cool. All right, yeah, let's do some Apple stuff.
Here's a story for all of you, and one that I'm guessing at least one of you will have an opinion on. So, according to Mark Gurman's sources, Apple is taking everything that it's been learning through its now failed or canceled car project, and just all the AI stuff they're working on. Guess what they're working on building now? That's right, a robot. And that's this week's show.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. They can put that in the storage unit right next to Gene Munster's TV and Project Titan.
Maybe it's a self-driving car with a big screen entertainment center. Total blending of all the rumors. So okay, the report
as long as
says,
it goes in the T-Bird.
Well, yeah, with the T-Tops.
Or Firebird. Yeah.
Yep. So the report says that there's two different robots that are at some stage in the R&D process. And one would be like a countertop robot. And I don't know, what does that do? Put cups away for you? Tap on your iPad screen for you? Swipe left, swipe right. You could automate finding your date.
Jeez.
iTwitter.
Yes. And the other one.
Or Tinder.
Yeah. So the other robot, I guess it's kind of vague, some sort of personal robot. I know the jokes write themselves. Yeah, that'll be a great addition to my OnlyFans. look at you, Chuck. You're just like, I don't even know what's coming out of his mouth.
Well, no, I know what's coming out of your mouth. It's just, I you know, part of me hopes that somebody is pranking the press with this, because they just have jumped on it so much. You know, it's like there was a vacuum left by all the car rumors and car speculation, and so now we have robot speculation.
Yeah,
you know, and look, I have no doubt that Apple is working on some kind of robot. Simply because they already have a robot. It takes iPhones apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, it should not be a surprise event to anyone that they're looking into robotics. A household robot? Okay. I want to know more if it ever comes to pass. But you know, again, this just seems like another one of those concoctions that is going to be used to ramp up expectations, and then if somebody pulls the plug or it never comes to fruition, then everybody's going to make a joke about it. And Ben, I'm not picking on you, but just like, you know, the Apple TV. Apple did research. Apple said, okay, it's not a direction we want to go in, just like with the car, and move on. Companies do this all the time.
Yeah.
But with Apple, it's like everything has to be the next big thing, has to be the next major product category. And it
I
just
mean,
doesn't.
also, I've said this 1,000 times, but Apple prototypes internally instead of externally.
Yeah. That's why none of us have been driving a car with an Apple logo on the hood unless we stuck it there ourselves.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
the thing about here's the thing about rumors. I have no doubt a lot of them are true, but the difference between existing in the lab and planning to go into production are pretty giant.
this is why you've never seen a folding Apple phone or iPad in the wild. There are multiple versions of wearable devices that have never seen the light of day. And how many computer models has Apple made that never came out of the labs?
Yeah,
And
I mean, just think about how long they had Project Marklar before they actually brought Intel processors to Macs.
you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. I do remember the very first betas of well, geez, I guess at that point there were still alphas of OS 10 that developers were getting, and at the time I was part of the Apple Consultant Network, so we were getting these early access releases. The very first release that came out, and I think it's the one that went to developers, it had two installs. One was for the Motorola processors, and the other was for Intel. So even in that early alpha stage, there you go. And then how many years was it before we actually got the Intel Macs? I mean, it was what, a decade easy?
2006, 2005.
I've lost track of when, because I got to see it was a, you know, it sounds like a big deal. It wasn't, but I got to see an Apple running a Mac running on an Intel chip by invitation from a friend at Apple. So you walked in a room and there it sat, and it looked like any other Mac, and it was doing everything every Mac did. And it's like, okay, is this ever going to come to fruition? Who knew? But it existed, and you know, and Apple just made a decision finally, because Motorola was not keeping up, to make the switch over. And I know a lot of us question it now. You look back and think that could have been a life and death decision if they hadn't. So, you know, I mean, Apple's going to be working on all kind of things that we never think about. And the other thing too, and this sort of goes to the comments we've made about Project Titan, that they learned a lot. You know, that stuff will translate over into other products. I mean, which one was it that they were working on the iPad and the iPhone resulted from that, or do I have that twisted around?
Nope, you've got it.
I
They
think I had
worked
that
on the
right.
iPad, and then the iPhone came out of it.
Yeah, so you know, there's something that you would not quite have expected. It makes perfect sense in hindsight. But at the time, it's like, wow, you're working on something this big, and now you're going to give us something this big. It was kind of a success.
Yeah, I mean,
Kind
hence
of.
the name, the Mac tablet netbook thingy that Ken used.
Oh, yeah. It was that was the thing that was, it's like an aftermarket company was taking the Macs and turning them into the tablets. Is that the one you're thinking of?
No, I mean, the iPad had been in development for a while. Since we didn't even know iOS had existed when they were working on the thing. I mean, it was just known as the Mac tablet netbook thingy because, well, at that time, the Mac was Apple.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. I was conflating that with that. Do you remember that company where it would take iBooks
yeah.
and turn them into like touchscreen tablets? Of course, they were like this thick mm-hmm. because it was an iBook, but yeah, good times.
Yeah. Which, yeah. By the way, speaking of which, I can guarantee somewhere in Apple's labs, there are iPads running macOS.
Oh, of course there are.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You've been talking about that forever, Ben.
Yeah. But I'm just saying Apple covers all its bases. And, you know, when it decides that something in development can do something better than what it's got, then it pulls the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
If not, it just stays a development project. Or in the case of Project Titan, they don't see any path to viability and it gets scrapped.
Yep.
And let's take the business factor, the business part of it in that for in order for Apple to commit to it, it has to be something very viable that really is they feel like they can make a dent in the market or create a new one. Mm-hmm. Think about the markets they've stepped away from, notably the airport devices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you yeah. know, which one
yeah,
of us,
networking.
Yeah, how many of us were not disappointed when that happened?
Oh,
but
totally.
They figured, you know, that there were other people out there that were focusing on it. And I'm interpreting, once again, I'm speaking for Apple, I shouldn't, but they decided that they couldn't add enough value
yeah.
to that device. And still have it make sense. And so they said, okay, you know, bye.
And I do have to say, despite being owned by Amazon, I am not displeased by either the design or experience of my Eero's.
I would agree with that. I use my Eero's as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm using Eero.
Yep,
yeah,
me too.
They are very... I would say if Amazon hadn't bought them, I could see that team just becoming the next airport.
Could have.
I was hoping Apple would have bought Eero, but here
it's
we
just
are.
Like it was obviously a business that Apple wanted to be out of. But
Yeah.
Going back real quick to this robot, what I don't see any practical needs for this robot. What I mean, other than it being a speculation, what do you guys think it's going to be? Beyond bringing you your coffee and pushing a couple buttons, I mean, where is this going to come in a place where it's going to be practical?
That's going back to my initial comments there. I can't see it whatsoever.
Yeah, I can't either.
And I'm with you. I don't see what Apple could be bringing to the table that would give us a value or better experience than what's available today. Now, granted, what's available today, it's like robot vacuums.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's already a thing. They're not going to want to be in that.
No, yeah. That's not what they're yeah. going to want to do.
Yeah.
But what can they do that's different? And I'm saying that without having an answer to go with it, I don't know. When Apple got into the smartphone space, did any of us really know what Apple could do that would differentiate their smartphone from any of the products that were already on the market? Because
no.
I mean, everything was essentially designed to match what a BlackBerry did.
Yeah.
And so what was Apple going to do that was different? And then we saw it and we were like, oh, right, of course. And what were they going to do different in the portable media player space? Who knew? But then we got the iPod and we were like, oh, now we get it. Yeah. So I expect that if they were to release a robotic product for the home, that whatever it is, when we see it, we'd be like, oh, now we get it.
But I do have an alternate theory on this. Maybe they think prototyping through robotics could develop a superior type of AI to LLMs.
Oh, sure, I could see that. And they've said as much with cars. I think it was actually Tim Cook that said, if you want to learn a lot about artificial intelligence, design a car. And they did, and they learned a lot. And so presumably at this developer conference in June, we will see a lot, or at least some, of what came out of that, because we're supposed to get a lot of new AI functionality in our operating systems. So, sure, design robots, and you'll learn a lot more about AI.
And before anybody quotes us on the internet, we have no sources. We are talking out of our ass here.
That just goes without saying,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
saying it every now and then is actually important. Yep.
So,
So.
okay. So having said that, I'm going to go down that path because I hate, I'm going to say right out that, I hate when people just do this kind of rampant blind speculation. But we're all right now, I think, thinking about something that is a physical manifestation of a robot. I
Yeah.
mean, I'm trying to think of it. I guess Rosie, it was a Rosie from the Jetsons. Do I have that
Yes.
right?
Yes.
Or
Rosie, R2D2, C3PO.
Okay,
Yeah,
any of
pick your
those.
droid.
Yeah, and
I'm picturing a T-800 in a turtleneck.
that I could use. It doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could, I think there was, I saw something somewhere that Apple, had aspirations to have some kind of home hub. Now, what does that mean? I mean, don't we sort of have a home hub right now in a Mac or an iPhone? It just is not maybe stationary. Okay, if you wanted to riff on that and expand it a little bit, is that a robot? Was the assistant in the Knowledge Navigator, would you consider him, the little bow tie guy, a robot? Just a virtual robot. I mean, so depending on which words you throw in or which aspects to this that you toss around, yeah, you could almost justify anything or say anything. And Apple is probably somebody at Apple is probably sitting there with their feet up on the desk, just laughing their what off about all this speculation, including ours.
Yeah, I mean
They probably laugh at us a lot.
that's yes. I mean that's the other possibility that honestly, someone they fed Gurman something just to see if he would run with it.
And we've also talked at times about false flags thrown out by companies, not just Apple, but by a lot of companies. Just to see what happens, who rises to the bait. So, pick more, pick your conspiracy theory. At the end of the day, I never get excited over stuff like this because it's not going to be until Tim Cook walks out on a stage somewhere and says, "Here it is."
Right.
That could be years, that could be never.
I do like, not all the time, but I do enjoy thinking about what Apple might be working on and speculating on what markets they could disrupt. And the idea of Apple disrupting personal robotics, I do find that very intriguing, but I have no idea what form that would take. And Chuck, after what you just said about is the bow tie guy a knowledge navigator a robot? Now I'm thinking the concept of some sort of automated device that's in our home that's capable of performing multiple functions and has some level of artificial intelligence so it can do decision making. Okay, that sounds kind of intriguing, but what would it do? And does it have to be R2-D2 following you around the house? Or is it something that's stationary and is intelligently managing all of your automation in your home? Which,
like a future HomePod?
Like, yeah, like a future HomePod. But it does a lot more than just play music and often play the songs that you keep telling it, I don't like this song. Oh, my HomePod.
Yeah. Yeah. if you say you don't like this, that song, this guy shows up.
Right? That guy just sits outside my door all the time.
Yeah.
But Jeff, okay, so I think you can accomplish some of this now with what we have, but what, because somewhere in there, there was one article I read something about a robot that would follow you around. Okay, fine. So what would the advantages to that be? Well, maybe the robot could, you know, anticipate where I'm going and turn the lights on and off, adjust temperature, you know, pump music into that particular room or that section of the house.
Why not just give me
shortcuts, but does it automatically?
Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, I know we can all do some of this stuff right now I can't think of the Bluetooth device that, you know, the NFC devices. Oh, what the heck are they? The beacons. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do some of that now if you really want to go and take a lot of time and set it all up and all that. What if you could just have it do this, you know, pretty much out of the box? So, and what else would you want it to do if you could walk around the house and, you know, have it integrated into things?
Right now, I would want it to stay out of my way. But when I'm gone, have it patrol my house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A mobile security system.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, what I wanted to do is not exterminate the human race.
We can live in hope, Ben.
Yeah, but the occasional bug that gets in my house is fine. Yeah, Jeff, I this is all rampant speculation, you know, and whoever said it, I think it may have been Ben or you, Jeff. But when the iPhone first came out, none of us saw what it could become.
Right.
Because, you know, all of us idiosyncratic users, you know, we started saying, well, gee, it'd be great if it could do this. Well, somebody then made sure that it could do that. And now we have this amazing device in our hands that, there was no way we could have foreseen some of this. Some of it, yes, but a lot of it, no.
Yep. Yep. Speaking of stuff that we should have been able to foresee and actually did, Apple has confirmed they're doing layoffs from the car project. Also from their micro LED teams. So over 700 workers getting laid off. And I'm bringing this story simply because it ties into Apple cars speculation, and well, it's Apple news, so there you go. But this is not like a leak. A lot of people that I saw talking about this last night after the news dropped, because this actually, the news hit while we were recording the 300th episode of In Touch with iOS. Congratulations again, Dave.
Thank you.
Anyhow, the speculation that I was seeing people drop, which is kind of crazy because all you have to do is read an article and then you know what happened. They thought this was some kind of leak or no. When you have a layoff that reaches a certain threshold, there are laws, especially like in California, that require you to file these reports saying that that these layoffs are going to happen. So this was a report filed with the state of California that said this is what's happening, and and these are the departments where these people are coming from.
Yeah, which had been reported earlier. This is just a confirmation of that.
Yes. And okay, yeah. So the part that I find interesting about this actually is the micro LED people. So that tells us that Apple's efforts to produce their own displays, because there was talk that micro LED was going to be coming to Apple Watch, that's probably not happening anytime soon.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, honestly, go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I'm just going to say layoffs are never a bad thing. Excuse me, never a good thing.
I was waiting to see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing to the workers.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sorry for anybody that lost their job. No question about it. But I feel good about Apple doing this now, because even though we've joked and said how many hundreds of times that Project Titan was never officially announced, it was very clear that they were working on a car, and now they're not. And so instead of keeping those folks around who were dedicated to that specialty, I'm sure they found places for everyone they could. And they're saying, okay, we're not a charity. We're not keeping people around. We're going to let them go and move on. And let those other folks, instead of sitting around wasting their talents, go be productive somewhere else. And I can say that because I didn't lose my job. I understand that. But the idea that, you know, we just went through a period where a lot of tech companies were doing a lot of layoffs, and they really didn't have them tied to anything other than the fact that we overhired in our enthusiasm. Apple didn't overhire in its enthusiasm. Apple hired to work on this project or these projects. Now they're going another direction and they're saying no. And judging by the stock market's reaction this morning, it's a non-event from the standpoint of, oh my God, you know, Apple is doomed. No, I think it's being seen as a very positive, logical step.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing from this, there's kind of the unanimous idea on the rumor front is that the next generation iPads are going to be switching to newer OLED technology. Mm-hmm. Basically, at one point, Apple thought micro, then mini, or I should say mini, then micro LED was going to eventually supplant OLED technology. That turned out not to be the case, and they pivoted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is a big difference between layoffs because you're losing money, or in the case of some companies, you're not making as much profit as you want. And holy crap, that's just like a whole nother podcast right there. And doing layoffs because you have people that are associated with a project and that project doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to say this is probably one of the few large scale layoffs in the last decade or so that was done because of good governance rather than bad.
Much more eloquent than what I said, Ben, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep. All right, I'm going to move us on because no point in beating on that one anymore. So let's get into some trigger time. And How about some new iPad rumors for you, Chuck?
Oh, that flowed nicely.
It did. So, Ben, thank you for the setup there.
I'm surprised you would think this one. There are a lot of things that will trigger me, Jeff. This one doesn't trigger me. It just, it's A, they aren't out till they're out, but B, I just think it points to the fact that we just all have to accept, including me, who doesn't like it, that it's impossible for Apple to do any more surprises of any significance
Yeah.
because there are too many eyes watching too many things, including a regulatory database review and supply chain analysis. Never mind the
Yeah.
leakers and all that. So, this would seem that we're going to be looking at new iPads sometime in the relatively near future. All
Bureau
right.
of the
How
Indian
about if I give
Standards,
you a
too.
surprise then? And I did throw another article in there to trigger you, but here's the surprise. Patrice
Hi,
is joining
Patrice.
us. Oh,
Patrice.
Oh, thank God we don't have to do the chat thing anymore.
And Patrice saves the day.
Wait, did she go to Hawaii?
It's like
Yeah, it's all tropical
No,
there.
we
It's
just have
springtime.
tropical. We
If
just
you
have.
just off camera, there's a drink with an umbrella in it.
That
Yeah.
would be nice.
So
No, I'm fair
thank you for joining us fashionably late, Patrice.
Yeah, I had an appointment, so I couldn't hurry.
So
We're
what
glad
you've
you're
missed
here.
so far is that I'm in the caldera death zone for super
Yellowstone.
volcano. There's been an earthquake in New York State, and
Of
Apple.
Jersey.
It was actually in Jersey, New Jersey.
Yeah, epicenter
Okay.
was.
Okay. Well, see, that shows you how closely I'm following the news today. The other thing you
Boise.
missed is we talked about Mark Gurman's report that Apple's working on a personal robot. We just got through talking about the Apple Car and micro LED layoffs at Apple. And then I've been trying to trigger Chuck by throwing reports out about new iPad models on the way and a rumor that Apple's having production issues because of the thinner displays on the iPhone 16. So now you're caught up.
He just
Hey,
did a
and
full
everybody who
review.
hasn't listened to the show so far also knows what happened.
Right.
Good. Let me guess. Chuck's reaction was like, shrug. I don't know. Don't care.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I refuse to be triggered.
Yeah, shrug
Yes.
emoji.
Yeah. Yeah. To basically, now that we're back on again, honestly, between government regulators and Apple having an external supply chain, especially in manufacturing, once you get to about 3 or 4 weeks out, everything gets spoiled.
Pretty much.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, we can have nice things. We just know about them a couple of weeks beforehand.
All right, that's fair.
And now you know why Apple is usually not shipping stuff immediately, unless it is like people simply don't notice that it's a new thing. Like, oh yeah, we exchanged the chip inside, but it's the same. It looks the same.
But even that, it's almost impossible now. There are too many eyes on Apple from every, and too many people that are digging through code to find, new capabilities of the of the air in the AirTags. You
Too
know, it's
many
like,
people willing to pay for it as well.
well, that's true too. And that starts now you're triggered. Now I see you. Now you're trying, Patrice, and I'm not going to raise to the. I really want to, but I'm not going to.
I tried.
Come on, Jake. Come on, Chuck. Give in to your anger. It makes you powerful.
Yes. Let it flow through you.
Oh my God.
Right. I'm still writing down show title ideas.
Thought we had one.
Usually we end up with at least 10, so
Well, I have four for us right now.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. Tom, forget the other three.
So,
So true.
anyhow, I mean, we've clearly had stuff to talk about this week, but a lot of it is just like, yep, that's the thing. And
Did you
here we
talk
are.
about the big outage that happened?
Oh my God, I totally forgot about
You
the
forgot.
big outage. All right.
Yes.
Okay, so someone find an article and throw it in the chat. The short version is, what, a couple days ago, I start getting messages from friends saying, can you get on Apple TV? Can you get on the App Store? I'm having trouble. And here's the thing, it's not like they go and look at Down Detector or something. They just start sending me text messages
Course.
and asking me if I'm having a problem. And then I go and look and tell them, here's what I'm experiencing. And then I go to Down Detector. But like in this case,
You just go to the Apple status page because there's a very good Apple status page. We can just look it up.
right. Yes, go to the Apple status page. And so I just told everyone, it's like, yep, stuff is down. And don't freak out. It's probably an AWS issue. And I went that route because it turns out there were a lot of other sites and services outside of Apple that were taking dirt naps too.
Yeah,
Yeah.
AWS or Azure.
Or Azure. Yep.
Yeah, because I mean, most big companies these days have both because just for redundancy purposes. If one of them goes down or they have a problem with Amazon all of a sudden, because I don't know, Amazon wants you to charge 10 times as much all of a sudden, they can just go to the other.
All right, Dave, I have a question for you. When
Yes. What is it?
services that your company relies on go down, and I say this because I know a lot of industries rely heavily on cloud SaaS products.
Oh, yes.
Is there a fallback? Or does your company just like suddenly stop functioning?
Well, I'm going to talk in general, but
Right.
companies that depend on, let's say, Office or Microsoft 365. I mean, we're just like with everybody else. If there's an outage, we're going to get warned that it's going to happen. If Teams is going down, then we have direct contact with Microsoft, and that's pretty standard for most companies, depending on whatever contract they've signed relates to support. But yeah, it's very important that that happens. I mean, those are probably the services that they're most dependent on. Any other services that'll be just like, let's say, in an office, like some like a circuit goes down or something like that. You know, then you're dealing with the vendor that's specific to that vendor for the circuit, affecting a network connection in an office, things like that. But yeah, it's the same. I mean, it's similar to Apple with iCloud and podcasts and everything else that went down. I mean, it's just like Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft's very good at being proactive on social media, especially if they're on X or any of the other social sites. They have down detectors type posts when things are happening. But they're so redundant with Microsoft themselves. I mean, they've got data centers worldwide. And, you know, where you're using Azure AD, and I'm not sure Patrice obviously has, I'm sure, you know, has experience working with that. Azure is everywhere. I mean, if one node goes down, your services are going to move to another node across the world. So,
Yes, unless something like that, what happened to Amazon, like I think 10 years ago, 5 years ago, where they took everything down, because that is bad. Yeah, but the truth, the sad truth is there is not a lot of alternatives. Like, I mean, if Teams, especially, I mean, Teams or Office go down, there is not a lot of alternatives. Like, I
Right, there
mean,
isn't.
with Teams, maybe there would be Zoom, but I mean, does a company now subscribe to two tools just because if one goes down, they
Right.
need a fallback? Most companies
Unlikely. No,
don't.
not
No.
likely. It's pricey. Most
Yes.
companies are either in the Teams ecosystem or the Zoom ecosystem. They're not gonna,
It's
if they do
pricey and
both,
it's usually not necessary. I mean,
not
yeah, you
necessary.
get some productivity loss, and if something goes down, sure, that might be a problem. But I mean, there's still phones and stuff if needed. So it's not that you can't
Unless they're on
communicate off the
Teams.
sun. Unless they're in Teams, yeah, true.
Right. Yeah, because Teams
Yeah,
phone,
but
yeah.
Yes.
yeah, but I mean the thing about businesses, despite what their IT departments may be recommending, most businesses are very, very price conscious.
Yes.
It can be, depending
They
the
have
size
to
of
be. I
company.
mean,
Have to be.
at a certain at scale. I mean, if you have like 1 to 5 employees, it's probably not a big deal if you have 2 or 3 tools because, yeah, it's like not that much money at the end. But if you have 10,000 or 20, 50, 100,000 employees and you need a license for Zoom all of a sudden, yes, you can negotiate maybe a little bit differently, but it's still gonna be a big chunk of money for
Millions.
yes.
And
For a
believe
year.
me,
And for what? I mean, it's the question is like just because I don't know, once a year for 1 hour, because usually I mean Teams is pretty good. Once a year
Right.
for not 1 hour, it's down. So
Haven't experienced a lot
important?
of Teams outages, but you're talking also about multi-billion-dollar companies too. I mean, they
True.
depending on what
Doesn't
their yeah, depending on what their what their needs are, you got to have you still have to have some sort of redundancy when it comes to that. So, but in the case of what I described, yeah, no, I mean, these companies are going to have, like I say, they'll have some Zoom licenses, but and
As
you
I
can fall
said,
back into it if you want, but not everybody's going to have it. So.
no, I mean the fallback these days still is you have your phone, you have a phone number, you can call someone.
Call people,
Like
right?
sure, like easy. And then I mean to be honest, most people they have WhatsApp, even if it's not a business tool, they have FaceTime and whatever, and you know people like it might not be officially sanctioned, but if Teams is down, they will just fall back to some other tool that's maybe not official but works.
All depends on your information security department too. If
Exactly. That's true.
they
Yes. Yeah, but I
are
mean,
very
even if
restrictive.
not, then I take my personal phone and I just call you. So,
Right.
is that allowed? No. Is that
If
do
it's a
like is that
client, you got their
possible?
number, call them.
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
I mean,
we do. I mean,
I
we
think
did that.
Microsoft is, as much as Chuck probably will hate me saying this, I mean, for the most part, about 90, 98% of the time, they're very, very solid with their systems, and they know they
Yes.
have to be because there's so many companies that are very dependent on them.
Yeah.
Actually, would have to check, but I'm betting they're 99.998
It's probably,
or
yeah, I think
something,
it is.
something like that.
I round out
At
a little bit,
least,
but
yeah.
99. Yeah, I agree.
But there's,
Yeah, I
there's
mean,
one other thing that you're not taking into account. And Patrice, if you're referring to just using Teams as a communication tool for back and forth, that's one thing. But if you're talking about anything else about Teams or any of the other services, you have to take into account the fact that a lot of your users are probably not going to be savvy in those other systems.
That's a problem, right?
True.
And that's a, because and very few companies are going to do contingency training on, well, if Teams
Not
goes
my
down,
experience. No.
yeah, exactly.
No,
Right.
yeah.
So, I mean,
It depends
it
on the
makes,
industry, right?
well,
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah,
It does.
and it depends on the individual too. I mean, look at us. We're probably fluent to varying degrees in a number of different platforms, but that's not even I won't even say it's a minority of most companies. It's just it's less than a minority, whatever that is.
Yeah,
But
because
I
I
would
mean.
assume if you're working, like if you're, I don't know, working in a military field, like you're, I don't know, a military contractor or even like active military, if one of those tools goes down, like I don't know, WebEx, for example, or Germany had some problems with recently, that I mean, for those very critical places, there's probably another redundant tool that they could switch to. I mean, there's actually more secure anyway tools that aren't in WebEx, but there's also redundancies because for critical things like that, it is required simply to do that. Whereas, I mean, if in our company Teams goes down, it's like, okay, whatever, we'll survive.
You know what doesn't go down?
TSO host.
DSO
TSO host.
hosts. That's right. Chuck, the look on your face. I'm so glad we got that on film.
Okay.
Funny.
No, but Why would I phrase it that way? Well, for two reasons. First, just to trigger Chuck. But then second, because TSO hosts, their services are super reliable. If you have web hosting with them, your site probably isn't going to go down. And if it does, it's probably because you did something that broke your site. But then it turns out that if you did that and you need help, they have great tech support. So they're there to help you so that you can get back up and running super fast. So they're really awesome. And I guess there's another reason why I'm bringing this up besides triggering Chuck, and it's that they're taking what they do as a web hosting domain purchasing company, and they're giving that to us so we can do what we do. They're giving us the hosting space we need so that there's a place for the BTN website to live. They are giving us the server space we need so that all of the show recordings have a place to live so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. And they're giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream to you every single week. And seriously, they're the reason why you can tune in and watch live when we record the big show and the Mac show every week. And the resources it takes to do all this, I mean, it's pretty intense. And it's more than we would be able to pull together on our own. So here they are, and they're just saying, hey, we're giving back to the community, and we love what all of you are doing at BTN. So here's everything you need so that you can do what you do. And we really appreciate that. So thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And now, all of you, please just hop on social media real fast and thank TSO host for being here and supporting us. Super fast, super easy to do. And it's a great way, and actually an important way, to let them know that what they're doing is being appreciated. So please just go give them some online love. That's all you have to do. I did mention they help with buying domain names. They make it easy to do, and they offer great pricing. So if you've come up with a cool website, a domain name, like let's try to triggerchuck.com, then just go there and buy it, and or put it in your cart so you can buy it, and they're going to give you a great price. But here's the thing: if you add in the discount code BTN20, they're going to give you 20% off your order. So you get good pricing already, and it gets even better just because you're part of the BTN family. So that's really cool. If you need web hosting, just throw it in your cart too. Get your discount on everything. And seriously, thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And I was emotionally preparing myself for the trauma of trying to get through talking about
Oh
the live
my
chat. And then Patrice showed up. Do you
God.
mind, Patrice?
No, I don't mind at all. So I can tell you about a really cool thing that does not trigger Chuck. And that is our life, at least not usually. That is our live stream. Our live stream and our live chat. So we stream this live every week at 4 p.m. UK time for this very show. And when we are streaming, then we have a really cool live chat. And if you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com at around 4 p.m. for the Mac show, by the way, also Thursdays, if you're into the non-Apple side of technology, whether it's chip design, space games, cars, whatever, like anything else basically in tech, or sometimes tech-related-ish topics, then 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. It's also a good time for you. Whatever time zone you are in, you have to convert that, but it's always the same time, 4 p.m. for the Mac show, 7 p.m. for the big show, and then head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. Should not say that so fast. And you're in. Super easy. Like there's no installing anything, just take your browser, point it there, you can use it. Let's say though you are not listening to this live. I don't know. You're busy. You got other stuff to do. You just don't want to, which is totally fine. Like, that's why we record this. That's why we post it on like all the podcast places. Like, whether that's, well, Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube or our website, for example, you can still at least get to the transcript. Of course, live chat, not possible, but you can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then you get a very friendly calendar that asks you for a date. And whatever date you pick between June 2nd, 2015, and today, which would be April 5th, 2024, you will get the transcript of our chat from that day. So if you put in today's date, you will see everything that we talked about today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. And
Bravo.
I definitely do not feel triggered. All right. So here's the thing. Which of you has the first cool thing today? Because I'm okay, so Patrice just told you all about the live chat. In the live chat, where our cool things are starting to pop up, so that you have links to go and check them out.
It
Ben
was
and
me.
Dave
Cheated. No,
both dropped in about the same time. Who
no.
gets it?
Dave did it way before me.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Dave did it way before. It's all fine. The link before was for the news article. It's all good.
Oh,
And
okay.
now they're fighting over it. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
I
All
didn't
right.
fight. I
Well,
just put it in there. I always put it in early.
all right,
Yeah, you
Dave,
cheated.
tell us
You put
about
it
your
in
cool
early.
thing.
I cheated by. I put it in like right when you started TSO host. It's like
Yeah,
I
no,
always do.
usually it's only when we're done with the ad block, then you put
Okay.
it
It was a bad
Oh,
one.
good. Doesn't matter. It does
I
not
know.
matter. Go for it. It's a really good one.
It is very good. Star Trek Discovery, the fifth and final season is out. I started watching the first episode yesterday. Oh my God, amazing. It's just an amazing show. I've always enjoyed this series. I was thinking back to when Chuck was doing Trek Favorites, and I went back and looked at that, and I
I'm
talked
still
about
sore. I still want that show back.
the.
I went back and it's like that was my favorite episode for that episode for that show, the very first episode of season one. So it has a bit lit my heart because that's when I really started getting into Star Trek more. You guys are way ahead of me on it over the years, but I've got caught up since I've been with you for so long. This is just an amazing series. It's sad to see it's going to be gone after this season, but there'll be other stories to be told and other series to be. We still have Strange New Worlds and other series that are going to be around. Go check this out. They got some great Ready Room stuff that's out there too. It's on Paramount Plus in the US. I believe it's in the UK as well. Check it out. Star Trek Discovery.
Excellent pick. And yeah, there's the half hour like extra Ready Room piece that Wil Wheaton does with or bef wow that Wil Wheaton did before episode one of the season dropped, and he interviews Sonika Martin Green. And they talk about the new season. They also have a great recap of the entire series up to this point.
Yeah.
And
With
yeah,
Whoopi Goldberg.
with Whoopi Goldberg, yeah.
yes,
Yes.
she
Narrated
does
by
the
her. She's so
recap.
funny.
And then the first post episode, Ready Room, is already out, and
Not watch that.
it's really nice. It was a great episode.
It was. It definitely was.
So, yeah.
We got
Yeah,
some fun
I'm
ahead
always
the
really
next 10
annoyed.
weeks.
I'm always very annoyed because I cannot get the Ready Room here without a VPN. I still don't understand why, like, what's so
Oh my God.
secret about the Ready Room that
Let's put
Europe
it on
can't get
YouTube.
it, but no, not on YouTube. It's blocked.
They don't. Okay.
Geo-blocked. I mean, it doesn't
Jeez.
stop me, but it's like, why? Like,
Yeah.
is that secret?
It's some licensing deal,
Yeah,
Patrice.
of course. I
That's
know.
the root of all evils. Yeah.
It's
Yes.
yeah, so
Yes.
why
Let
not?
me pay for it. Like, I'll give you money for it. Just let me get
But
it.
you got VPN into the US.
Yeah, easy. Like this, I have not even a VPN. I have a network here I switch to, and then I'm in US, so
There you go.
nice.
stupid easy.
Even better.
Yeah, but yeah, so the ready room that Patrice is having to jump through hoops to get to, the one that dropped yesterday, he Wil Wheaton is interviewing Doug Jones, who plays
That's what I
Saru.
was gonna say. Yeah, Saru.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
And
amazing. Action Saru.
action Saru. Yeah, and they have a great discussion, and it was a lot of fun.
Always is.
He talks about how he walks as a Kelpin. He tells you how to do it.
Yeah.
Which
Right.
is really
It's
interesting.
great for your abs.
My friend
Maybe I should
Sarah
walk
has
again.
my friend Sarah has been a recurring cast member on Discovery since season one with a couple characters.
Nice.
Doug is genuinely one of the nicest, most thoughtful people on the planet.
Yeah. You get that sense from him.
Yeah, he's the no ego dude who just like goes and helps people.
Just think about all the makeup and everything he goes through to
Oh
become
yeah.
Saru. I mean, it's
Yeah.
got
It's
hours
a
upon
thing.
hours. It really is.
And the shoes he
But I
has to
mean,
wear.
Yeah, the
yeah,
shoes
but I
and
mean,
his
yeah.
fingers and his everything.
But I mean, for Doug, this is par of the course.
Right.
'Cause I mean, some of the roles you might know him for, Abe Sapien from Hellboy, the creature from what's it called, Out of Water. He is a acting in prosthesis specialist. He also happens to be an excellent actor out of prosthesis.
Yes.
Ben
Looks a bit
and a
weird though
great guy.
without all of it,
Yeah.
but
Yeah. Ben, how do you know that what we think of as out of makeup is not in makeup for him? That maybe he really does look like some of those creatures.
Maybe he is a Kelpian in reality, and he puts the
This is
human face
true.
on.
Oh.
Exactly.
All right. So next cool thing is, oh, it's you, Ben.
Yes, the cool thing is me.
Yes, that is true. Fully
Yes.
agree. Should buy more of
But
like.
yes, and now that we got that out of the way, so this is something that I have picked before in the past. It's no secret when it comes to Apple headphones. I prefer the Beats line rather than the AirPod line. But if you like me prefer these, Apple is doing some, well, Apple and Amazon are doing some really good deals over on Amazon. Chief among this, the top of the line Beats Studio Pro headphones, which are normally $350, are $150 off right now. That includes all four colors. These include spatial audio. Basically, they can work natively with either iOS or Android with basically the same features. Apple found a way to do all of this over on the other platform. They have USB-C, not for only charging, but lossless audio. 3.5 millimeter jack. So yeah, you don't need another pair of headphones.
But
Unless you prefer the AirPods Max and the eyebrow. But
I could
it's
have
one of
this
those.
by 2 o'clock this afternoon if I order now.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Lucky
I
you.
mean, these are fantastic headphones that are on. It's basically getting the Studio Pro for the same price as a Solo.
So yeah, and well, I mean 43% off. Holy crap. That's a
Yeah.
really good deal.
With a carrying case included.
Yeah. That does not look like a bra.
Oh, okay. I see the picture of the carrying case. It's an appropriate carrying case.
Yeah, I think if I remember right,
Instead
it
of an
also includes.
inappropriate one? I don't.
Yes. Yeah, like unlike the inappropriate one, like its corporate cousin.
Right.
I think Beats also includes all the cabling.
Which is nice. Hey, you can save 4 cents. Get the black ones, $199.95. The others are $199.99.
Yeah, for me,
Totally
blue
worth
is
it.
worth an extra 4 cents.
You just
There
could
you
say
go.
so.
But I
Oh,
mean,
thank you.
if you want something else, Power Beats are, it looks like, $70 off. The Beats Studio Buds are 50 bucks off. The Beats Fit Pro, which I swear by, are $20 off. In fact, hey Apple, have your Beats division give me commissions for this stuff.
Right?
Ben, are you happy with the noise canceling on it? I mean, have you used that like on a plane or in a very noisy environment?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They're
In
really
fact,
good. I've tried that.
in fact, my office is right by the furnace without walls right now. I don't hear anything in the outside world. I mean, granted, these ones do use the H1 chip. Apple built brand new specific Beats silicon for the Studio Pro and some of the newer Beats. So I can't attest to that yet. But
Yeah.
what I can say is every Beats that I have owned, Apple does not skip on the quality.
Okay, I cannot stay quiet on that one. No, I've had quality problems. I like the quality of the Beats Studio Pro that I had, like I bought them like 5 years ago, I want to say, something like that. They're really good. Like nice back then, even noise cancellation was really good. It was basically on par with the, what was it, Sony's, I think. The other ones that are really good. And that quality, but the build quality, I had problems. It fell apart pretty quickly when I was traveling a lot and it didn't last very long. The plastic simply disassembled. So it might be way better these days, but the ones that I had didn't last. I still have them somewhere, but not using them.
You have them over here and over here and over there. Yes.
That's true in parts. Now, as I said, like the plastic especially cracked and stuff like that. So, and I kept it in a case and everything, so I was quite careful. So that's it. Might be way better these days. Maybe I just got a bad, like a bad batch. Because I've
Yeah.
not heard anybody else say anything about it, so probably just me.
Yeah, I mean, the Beats Solo Pro I had like 8 years ago, those did have a lot of the issues that Patrice said. The Solo Pros that I bought to replace those, and recently gave to my nephew as part of a deal to be good, the deal.
Good deal.
Those stood up a lot better.
Okay,
Yeah,
well,
that's what I
that's good
would
to
hear.
expect from Apple, to be honest.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, Patrice, your turn.
My turn. So I was thinking maybe I should pick these because I'm very excited about those and I got them these days. It's like a set of
Great
like
collection of paintbrushes.
no, it's like makeup brushes, but
Yep.
I know that's a tech show, so you don't care about that. So I'm picking an app. So I mean, spring is coming, and a lot of people are trying to lose weight. And I mean, however you do it for health or whatever reason, I unfortunately, for doctor's orders, have to lose a little still, which is good. Definitely something I should be doing. And I am doing, so I need a little bit help with that. And I mean, I've been like on this for 2 years or something, so it's time to get a little bit help. To and there's a really cool app. I did some research, like what are the good apps also reviewed by like some dietitians and so on, like not the scammy ones that just promise you everything and don't deliver anything. And this one, Lose It, is actually a pretty good app. I'm surprised how I've been I started on Tuesday, and I'm surprised how well it works. It's a really solid app. They basically guide you in the beginning through, like, they ask questions like, what do you want to achieve? How fast? What's your lifestyle like? Have you done anything before, and how does that work for you? Like, they ask some really thoughtful, good questions, and they make a recommendation, say, okay, this might be the best way for you personally to get to your goal simply. And they give you some hints of like, hey, don't worry, don't overdo it in the beginning, like just focus on this and like focus on it's I mean it's a calorie counter at the end. But they're like, okay, don't overdo it. Just get started, get used to doing it more than being accurate, because that's not what it's about in the beginning, especially. And so far, it integrates with all the apps, like my Withings scale, my Apple Watch, iPhone, Apple Health. Like, it just integrates with everything, like ties in. So when I'm exercising, I like get credit for that, which is great. I don't have to do manually anything. It has a really good and international database of like all the food. So a lot of times there's a barcode scanner, and I picked the one for Germany. So there's a German database, and it just scans something, and it says, "Oh yeah, got that." Not everything is in there. Austria has some things that are different, but most of the time it's like, "Oh yeah, I know that one," or you can just search for a name or stuff like that. And it's so far. I mean, it's a couple of days, but I've seen some stuff where it's like, "Oh, it even does some correlations." Like, "Oh, if you do like." It gave it to me a little bit too early. I would say it tell me, oh yeah, whenever you eat hazelnuts, you keep your gold. Or like, yeah, I've eaten hazelnuts for breakfast, like with yogurt and whatever for breakfast every morning this week. So it's not a super helpful thing so far. I think down the line, when it has a little bit more variety and a little bit more data, I might be better at it. But it was like, oh yeah, but I get the idea. They were like, hey, like trying to figure out, okay, if you do this. This might help you. Simply spotting which computers are good at spotting patterns. And so I said I'm so far quite happy with it, and it was super easy to use. And it's not there is a free version, and you can use it completely for free. If you want to pay, you get some extra stuff that I really liked, and it wasn't expensive. It's like $40 a year. So I was
Yeah,
like,
I'm
okay, I
looking
can
at
do
it
that.
right now.
Yeah,
For
others
$40
charge
a year.
$100 a month and don't deliver same quality. So
Yeah. And
yes. So if you're into this, if this is something would help you would like to do, I mean it's all up to you. There's more than one way doing this, but if you need that little thing that you can invite even friends and stuff like that, if that helps you, then this is definitely a good option. And it's Android and iOS, so it doesn't really matter with what you're using.
These guys have been around for a long time. I remember
Yes.
looking at it at first. They got to be going back 10 or 15, probably 15 years
Yes.
since the App Store started in iOS. So yeah,
And
it's really good. I remember how good it was.
And I mean, one thing I want to say, I've been in the on the research side for a long time. I've read papers about almost everything, because it's something that I'm also very interested in, like nutrition and like how do studies work and all of that and how to read it. So I can tell you one thing, that the stuff that I've seen in there seems to be pretty well researched and pretty up to date when it comes to research. So for me, it's just I needed a tool a little bit to keep myself in check and keep myself accountable to myself. I didn't need the advice really, but the advice I've seen so far, there's tons of articles and stuff you can read, and it tailors it to, like, it shows you the things that you select before when you say you want to do whatever, higher protein or low carb or whatever. Like, they're all kind of the same anyway, so pick the one that works best for you. They tailor the things that they show you also a little bit to that, so that you get the things that you need. They sent even really good emails, to be honest. Like, I was surprised, because emails I'm usually crap, and I'm like, I don't read them. But I saw them, I was like, hey, there's like two or three things that I would actually read, and that's
Nice.
good. Yeah, so Lose It,
Nice.
loseit.com, it's a good app.
Good pick.
Awesome.
Good pick.
Yeah. All right. Chuck, your turn.
So I'm going to give you a 3 for 1, or maybe more
Nice.
than that. If you aren't checking out the Lex Fridman podcast, you are missing out on some really great interviews. Lex tends to lean into the longer interviews, like 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. So these are not to be taken lightly. But the reason I picked this is there were three I felt like in his recent catalog. The first is one with Sam Altman, so just under 2 hours. And it's really an interesting look inside the whole OpenAI situation. Sam's thinking about the past, the present, and the future of OpenAI and large language models in general. It's a really, really good listen. One that will potentially scare the daylights out of you is an interview with Annie Jacobson. She has written a book on nuclear war that is. It's not necessarily political. It's just what will happen during a nuclear war. And it's laid out like in the first couple of minutes, first couple of, hours, how and what will happen if we went that way, and why there is no small nuclear war. There is no tactical nuke. It's the systems that are in place right now. I mean, it'll keep you awake at night. It's truly amazing. The third one is with Mark Cuban. He talks about Shark Tank. He talks about Elon Musk, politics, a number of things. I thought those were three of the best interviews that Lex has done now for a while. But really, it's unless you're just absolutely not interested in a topic, he is such a good interviewer because he gets out of the guest's way. He lets the guest talk. So if you aren't checking this out, you can get them in audio. They post the video versions on YouTube, which are, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of time to sit in front of YouTube for an interview, but it also adds that thing that I really like. You get to see the expressions on the person's face, and it communicates all those things that maybe don't come across in just the talk. So again, I really, really encourage this as a podcast that, and look, be fair about it. If it's somebody you really don't care about or a topic you don't care about, skip it because it does represent a commitment in time. But for those people that you are interested in or the subjects you're interested in, it's well worth that commitment.
Cool. I'm like,
Yeah, and just to be clear, this is Lex Fridman, Fridman, not the former Macworld journalist, Fridman.
thank you, Ben. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I
I
tend
was
I
wondering about that.
I got
Yeah,
confused about that too, and then I realized that okay, it's a completely different one. So yeah, great
Yeah,
point.
because they frequently get confused for each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
He
Yeah,
also
just
interviewed Tim Cook. Oh no, wait, it was a different person. Just looks like Tim Cook. Yeah.
But yeah,
All right.
the catalog is really it's impressive. I don't know who books these things for him, but I mean it's
I
he
want
they do a great
that.
job. Yeah, I
Yes.
know.
Yeah, that was great.
Cool. All
Cool
right, so
thing.
then I have to follow that up, don't I?
Yeah. Well, you can choose not to, but
But I will.
okay.
All right. So oh, I should have gone and found the trailer instead. Anyhow, Tales of the Jedi is
Tales of the
season
Empire.
two. Yeah. It's coming on May 4th, the new season.
Oh, yes.
And where the first season followed the I guess the fall of Dooku, basically.
Yeah.
This one follows the rise of Morgan Elsbeth. And if you're like, who is that? If you have watched Ahsoka, the Like she's the woman that is
With the staff.
orchestrating. I'm sorry, what?
With the staff.
Okay, yeah, the woman with the staff. She's the woman that was orchestrating getting the big ring thing built so that they could fly to the other galaxy, and then she has her big fight with Ahsoka Tano. And so you get to see her backstory in the new season, and you get more of Grand Admiral Thrawn too. So May 4th, that's when that drops,
Of course.
and yeah, of course, and only on Disney
Why is
Plus.
it not April 5th? Just
Right?
asking. Mm-hmm.
This is me force choking Patrice across the internet. But yeah, the other part about it, the Tales of series follows two characters throughout their lives. The second character is quite possibly the largest sanctimonious a-hole in
Yes.
all of Star Wars, Barriss Offee.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she fell to the dark side because she was too good for the Jedi.
And she screwed over a lot of really good people because of that.
Yeah, including her best friend.
Her best friend, Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So this is basically what happened to her post her arrest and post Order 66, where we find out that yes, she did get recruited. I mean, is that really the correct term when you're basically you're doing this or you're dying? But she gets recruited into the Inquisitorius. So she has to basically prove herself to the dark side, to the Grand Inquisitor, and to the person who might have the biggest beef with her at all, of all, Darth Vader, formerly known as Anakin Skywalker.
All
A
right, I went and
guy
found the
we
trailer.
know, yeah, a guy that we know from all the dead force choked bodies carries a grudge.
Yeah, he has issues. All right, so yes, Tales of the Empire drops on May 4th, and I did go and find the trailer, the official trailer from Star Wars YouTube channel. So
Yes.
you can go watch it.
Yes. Be
And
like me and watch it about 10,000 times.
then go and watch all the YouTube videos of all the people dissecting the trailer.
Yes. Yes, it's especially Star Wars Explained.
There you go. All right. So with that, it is time to wrap up. And this has been fun just all the way around. And then we got the added bonus of Patrice being able to show up and join us later in the
And
show.
do our dirty work for us.
So, someone has to show up and do the actual work. Yep. And
It's not going to be us.
yeah. All right, Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me over at macvoices.com. That's where I have discussions with pretty much everybody here on Mac Voices Live, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. On youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. Also, we do other interviews with other folks. There's a great one coming up next week with an author about a new book. And I've got some other things in the works as well. So there's just lots of stuff over there. And on socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner. That's it.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you. And Ben, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Rithig on the social media. You can f on Tuesdays, you can find me on this little show called Mac Voices with some Chuck Joyner guy.
Oh, yeah, that
On
guy. That guy.
yeah, yep. On Thursdays, you can find me on some show that just celebrated a birthday called In Touch with iOS.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always find me here on the British Tech Network. Yes, I want. Yes, I said that like an imperial villain. every Thursday and Friday here for the Big and Mac shows.
Awesome. Thanks. And Dave, Mr. 300 Ginsburg, where can people find you?
Well, as I've been saying, you can find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. You will, by the time you hear this and watch this, we'll have the 300th episode published. Looking forward to that, everybody, to see it. And you can find me on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night. I'm here on Fridays on the Mac Show. And I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.cloud.
Cool. Thank you. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, usually you can find me here on this very show on British Tech Network every Friday on the Mac Show and every Thursday on the Big Show, unless I'm traveling like next week. You can find out everything about me on my website, thepatrice.com, because there is only one of me. That's enough. Couldn't handle more anyway, so it's good enough. All the projects, podcasts, social media links, all of it you can find there. And if you want to join a really cool Mastodon instance, if you, I don't know, you're in one of the big ones, you want to go a little bit smaller, or you've never joined Mastodon, you're like, okay, what is this about? Reach out to us. I have one that I'm running, techhangout.social, where some really cool shows like the British Tech Network and In Touch with iOS, for example, also have their accounts. Also Ben, for example, some other really cool people. And if you want to join, you can get an invite from us.
Awesome. Thanks. And I guess I need to tell people where to find me. Or maybe I don't. Yeah. I'll do it anyhow.
No. You're everywhere, right?
I am everywhere.
Yes, you can find Jeff at onlyjeffs.com.
Yes. Right. And if you pay for the Chuck special, you get the really great content.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Oh, anyhow. Okay, social media, Jay Gamut, Mastodon, Instagram, Threads. Podcasts. At least up until this week, I've been welcome on Mac Voices Live, Chuck Joyner Show. That's on Tuesdays. And then on Thursdays, In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsburg Show. Congratulations again on 300 episodes. And then here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. Also, Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. And with that, it really is time to wrap up. We went a little long today, but Patrice showed up and brought the story that we needed to talk about, and I clearly forgot about. So thank you for doing that. And so everyone, thank you for joining us. If you're watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here. You are awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And speaking of BTN family, Ewan, thank you for being you. It looks like you had a wonderful vacation, and I'm glad you got to have that experience. Muller, speaking of experiences, thank you for making sure we have people for the shows. Tioso Host, thank you for supporting us. Give them some online love, everyone. And speaking of online love, the Daily News Show. Kyle does a fantastic job of giving you your little five-minute nugget of the tech news that you need. It's waiting for you first thing in the morning when you get up. It does take extra money to make that show happen, so go to the BTN website, click the button, and send in some money so that we can keep that show going. And let's see. Join us next Thursday for the Big Show, then again next Friday for the Mac Show, and everyone, have an awesome weekend.